Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, our children are gone. Our children are gone. Our families are falling apart. Our falling apart. We as a nation have totally forsaken.
Oh Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. Heal our land. And we turn our faces back toward you.
With If My People. Today we're going to be talking about the presence of God being with us wherever we may be, because he promised, I am with you always, numerous places in the Bible. Remember last week we talked about his promises, and that they were yea and nay to the glory of God in us. So this is just another promise that he has given us, that he is definitely going to be with us, and he is with us. As his word says, I am a very present help in the time of trouble. So we're going to get a little bit of praise and worship started. We're going to have Samuel Metis with In My Father's House and Presence. And then we'll be right back to get started on I Am Always With You.
What's up, everybody? This is Selma Medas, and you're behind the scenes in the making of the Royalty album. Peace!
Yeah!
Woo! I like that.
My daddy is the king, so I am royalty. Hey, cause once we were the people, now we are the people of the Lord.
I'm
gonna be. I am living.
If you're not moving, time is not moving. If you're not going,
And we are right back. That was Samuel Meadows. That last one was Presence. If your presence is not with me, then I'm not going. You can't make me. I'm not going. Lord, I need you to be with me whether I go. This is Pastor Leona Ross with Blog Talk Radio. If my people, today's topics we are going to be talking about, I am with you always. We're discussing the topic of God's presence in our lives because a lot of times we do stuff, we sin, we disobey God, and we make mistakes. And we think that because of that mistake, whatever it is, it might be the most minute thing that you do, or it can be a grandiose thing that you do. And you just know, like, oh my God, God is going to leave me. I've done too much. God won't be with me. But that is the furthest thing from the truth. And we think like that because of our carnal nature. We think like that because of our human nature, because all of us have had relationships where we made mistakes or we've done things that were displeasing to those who are in our lives, whether it be our parents, whether it be our spouses or our significant others, our children. We know that there are many broken families, children not talking to the parents, parents not talking with their children, ex-husbands and ex-wives at war with each other, or even present husbands and wives at war with each other because of some infraction that one or the other has committed. And then that communication, that closeness, that intimacy is lost. Well, that's your human nature. That's your carnal nature. But God is a spirit. He is omnipresent. He is omnipotent. He has vowed, he has promised that whether we may go, he is with us always, that there is nothing that we can possibly do that would change his love for us. This is what he promised. Remember, John 3:16, he said, "So for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." That is while we were yet sinners, while we were yet separated from him. He allowed his son to make the ultimate sacrifice to restore us back into right standing with him. If we would allow him, that's right, invite him into our lives. See, many times when we have an infraction or we have an ought with someone else, or we have problems with someone else, we neither person, you know, the guilty or the innocent party, whichever it may go, neither person wants to reach out to that other person and just say, "Hey, let's talk about it. Hey, I forgive you." You know, even though you didn't ask me for forgiveness, I forgive you so that I can go on with my life and this thing not be on my shoulders anymore. But when we look at it, Christ has already done that for us. Whatever sin, whatever burden we think that we ought to carry, he has already died for us. He has already made the ultimate sacrifice that we might be forgiven, that we might live and not die. See, so we don't have to die to the sins of our past. We don't have to be entrapped or be held hostage by those things, by those sins which we think that ultimately separate us from God, because Christ stepped in. He is that gap standard. He is that gap between us and God. He is there. He is, and let me say this. God sees your sins. He already knows. His word says, "For all have sinned You are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So he already knows your flaws. He already knows, coming through that birth canal, coming into this earth realm, that you already are covered in flesh and you're covered in sin. Until you get to a point in your life where you can reason for yourself, okay, I need Christ in my life, and I need Christ in my life right now. I don't need to wait until tomorrow, because this burden, this sin, this is just too heavy for me to carry. And what we have to realize is that it was never meant for us to carry it in the first place. He says, come and lay your burdens down at my feet. That means you lay your problems down, everything that you think you've done, everything that you think you are or are not. You bring it to God. He says, come boldly before my throne and make my petitions known. Make your petitions known. And he's going to answer you. Way back in the book of Deuteronomy, he said in Deuteronomy 31 and 8, he said, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee, and he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, and do not be dismayed. He said, he's not going to fail you. He's not going to forsake you. Don't be afraid. In other words, don't be afraid to come to me. Don't be dismayed by the things in your life that make it look like you're not good enough to come to me and tell me, hey, God, Father, Heavenly Father, Jesus, however you pray, come to him and say, hey, this is the kind of day I have. This is what I've done, and this is how I feel. He wants to know that. He wants to know. He already sees it, but he wants to come to you so that you may experience that everlasting love in him, that you know that you are fully and completely forgiven, that there is no sin, as it says, that separates us from God. There is nothing that you could possibly do that will separate you from the love of God. His love is eternal and everlasting. See? And we cast those things aside. We forget that because we're so enthroned to this carnal love, because people will say, I love you, I love you, I love you. And then the first infraction or the first problem comes up. Oh, well, I never loved you in the first place. Or they love you on condition. See, and that's the difference between humankind and our Heavenly Father. God loves us unconditionally. We don't have to prove anything to him. We don't have to be a certain way, you know, to get him to love us. He loves us in spite of us. See, remember, in the beginning, he said, let us make man in our image. In other words, when I look at man, I want to see me. See? And see, and that's the thing, that the strongest point, and that's a powerful point, because if we can look at ourselves and see ourselves as God sees us, then we wouldn't have so many people who are walking around devaluing their self, walking around in lack of self-esteem and lack of self-worth, because when they look in the mirror, they see the very character, the very essence of who God is, and God is the very essence of love. He is love. We wouldn't have all of these problems thinking that we're not good enough. That's the very root of the problem, because we forget the image that we are made in. We forget whose likeness that we are made in, or that we were created in. When we cast off the old man, when we confess Christ and truly become a new creation in Christ Jesus, the old man is cast out. Just because we struggle don't mean that we're that same person as before we accepted Christ in our life. Because now the Holy Spirit is moving through us. He's seeing us. He's directing us and guiding us as long as we allow him to. See? But we have to make a conscientious decision daily to say, Lord, let thy will be done. Because remember, when the disciples went to Jesus and they say, oh, Lord, how shall we pray? And he said, you begin your prayer with our Father. Number one, acknowledging that you are not alone. See, our Father. see, who art in heaven, holy, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, all of your kingdom that you purpose for me, kingdom-like mind, a kingdom-mindedness, a kingdom statue. And everybody knows when you look at royalty, you can see the difference between a king and a pauper. You can see the difference in how they dress, the difference in how they speak, the difference in how they command respect and how they carry themselves, meaning that you won't settle for nothing less than what God has promised you, that you indeed are the head and not the tail, and you know who you are and you know your place. So there's no reason for you to devalue yourself, to walk in self-lack, to walk in self-worth. See, in lack of self-worth, because you know you are worthy. You know who you are because of who your Father is. See, He's placed His name on you, and that tells you your status or your station in life. It doesn't matter what's happening outside the world. It doesn't matter what's happening in the world. All that matters is that what God has said about me, and I know that He is with me daily. And let's stop telling people, pastors, clergy, that God does not hear a sinner's prayer. Why do you tell people that? Yes, He does. Because He said you're born in sin, is shaped in iniquity. How do we come to Him if He does not hear a sinner's prayer? Come on now. Yes, He will. Because while we are yet in the midst of our sin, when we cry out to Him, He is going to hear. Because He says, I am a very present help in the time of trouble. See? So when we cry out to Him, as it says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. See? He cares for you. Psalms 55:22, it says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. See? So He cares for you. So He is going to hear you when you decide to turn. See, right in the midst of your sin, when you are in trouble, how many of you have just been between a rock and a hard place? You have had a prophetic interruption in your life, and you just can't get out of the current situation that you're in on your own. You just don't know. You don't know how you're going to do it. You don't know how you're going to get out. And the first word come out of your mouth, Lord, help me, or Jesus, help me. It's the first thing that comes out of your mouth. And how many of you in that same situation, God turned it around for you? You don't know how you got out of it. You don't know how that situation turned around in your favor, except God. Except God. He did it. So did he hear you in those very few little words of prayer, Lord, help me? Remember, He said, I am a very present help in the time of trouble. So if He had to set things in order in your life, you invited him to intervene on your behalf when you simply surrendered your will and said, Lord, help me. And I don't know anyone, any sinner, because we're all sinners, any person who are in the midst of trouble and said, Lord, help me, and God didn't come through. And it didn't matter their status in life. And I can say that because I am a living testimony. I am Pastor Ross now, but I haven't been Pastor Ross all my little life. See, every pastor, every clergy has a history. Every pastor, every clergy has a testimony from when they were living worldly, living for Satan. Their mind was not on the things of God, and they did everything that they thought that they were grown enough to do. Yet and still, God saw fit to take us away, clothe us, clean us up, See, clothed us in royalty, in his Holy Spirit, and tell us now, go and preach this gospel. He didn't say go preach Ross. He said go preach this gospel. Tell the people about my kingdom. Tell the people about the kind of God that I am. See, because if he did it for me, the thing is, if he did it for me, the thing is that he has no respect the person. I'm not, and I have not done anything so great that God just say, oh, well, she's such a great person and has so much love for me, I'm just going to shower her in blessings. No, that's not what he said. His unconditional love spreads out to all of mankind. That's why I named this people, this show, If My People. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, then I would hear from heaven and heal their land. See? All he's asking you to just acknowledge him, acknowledge the sin in your life, turn away from it, and he will hear from heaven. Remember, our Heavenly Father, I'm going to hear you when you pray. I'm going to hear you when you acknowledge me. Why? Because I'm right there. I'm right there just waiting. I'm just right there just waiting. I'm waiting on you. Remember the scripture you say, I stand at the door knocking? Answer. Answer. He's just waiting for you to acknowledge him. He hasn't left you. He hasn't forsaken you. He didn't walk away from you because the sin that you think that you committed was so atrocious, was so horrendous that even God turned his back on you. No. That is the whole reason Christ died. So change your mindset. Let this mind that is in Christ Jesus richly dwell in you. Christ knew that it was nothing in the earth that could separate him from the love of God, from the presence of his Father. He told his disciples and he told the Pharisees, he said, when you see me, you see the Father. Why? Because I am made in his image. He said, I and the Father are one. We are one. So if you are truly in Christ, endeavoring to be in Christ, walking that walk of salvation, the best that you know how, the one thing that you have to understand that the Father and you are one. Let him lead you. Let him guide you daily. See? After you ask for the kingdom to come, he says, thy will be done. God, whatever your will is for this earthen vessel, let it be done this day. See? Because he's saying, and give us this day our daily bread, our sustenance, whatever we need for this day, not just physically, but spiritually. Because whatever plot, plan, or scheme the enemy has set up for me, Lord, you protect me. You cover me. You shield me. You open my eyes, my spiritual eyes of discernment, so that I may see the more. See? So that I'm not led into temptation, but I resist temptation so that it can flee from me. That is just letting your light shine. See? Because we know the enemy cannot dwell in the presence of God. And wherever the light of God is, the enemy cannot be, because it illuminates all that he is. In other words, it exposes everything that he is trying to do to cause you to fail. But God said that, remember the scripture we just read, God said that I'm with you without fail. I am with you. So you don't need to be dismayed. You don't need to be afraid. See? Because I'm with you. Call my name. Hey, I'm a very present help in the time of trouble. So what are you worrying about? What are you thinking about? Move and go and do what I have purpose for you to do in the earth. Forgive us. See? That's what he said. Forgive others as I have forgiven you. And if we look over our lives, we can see that things that we thought that we couldn't get out of, that we thought we, you know, it was just over. God was already there. He already made out a way out for us. We didn't know it. Whether we said thank you, whether we acknowledged him or not, he was there. Whether it was because it was the prayers of our ancestors, the prayers of our grandmother, the prayers of our pastors in the church, he was there to cover us because somebody asked him to. Somebody lifted up our name, our circumstance on our behalf. See? So he was already ready. He was already there, waiting to rescue us. See? Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to keep you in that safe place. See, so you don't need to be afraid. Because I'm going to give you my peace. I'm not going to give you the peace of the world, but I'm going to give you an everlasting, eternal peace that passes all understanding. You ain't going to know why in the midst of calamity you are not worried. Why? Because you are assured that God is going to bring you out. You're not afraid. Because in 2 Timothy 1 through 7, 1 and 7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Keeping your mind on Jesus. Let this mind that is in Christ Jesus richly what, dwell in you. So there is no need to fear because you know that the power of the Almighty God rests within you. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Remember? And if something is in you, then how could it leave you or forsake you if it's in you? Because you are with you 24/7. So if you can't leave you and God is in you, then how can God leave you? See? Because while you was thinking about that wrong or committing that wrong, the spirit of the living God was unctioning you, even while it was a thought in your mind telling you, oh, Ross, don't go that way. Go this way. No, don't do that. And whether you paid attention to it or not, is he not with you? Is he not yet trying to direct your path? Is he not trying to get you to acknowledge him in all of your ways? Because, see, he's there. See? So don't get down on yourself thinking that, oh, I've done too much. See, that's what real love is. That's how he can say, I am with you always. Because the love that God has for us, it never dies. It never dies. It doesn't go anywhere. Because remember, God is not a man that he should what? That he should lie. So he can't lie. So if he say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, guess what? He still loves us. See? Loves us. It didn't change. It didn't go anywhere. The first commandment Jesus talked to his disciple was about in Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 31, also known as the Shema. He said, and Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Why? Because if we're created in his image, then the essence of love has to dwell within us as well. Let me say that again. Because we are created in his image, the very essence of love has to dwell within us. See? 1 John 4:7, he said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knows him. Verse 18, for there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment, and he who has fear is not made perfect in love. See? So if indeed love is in you, then you don't have, you. There is no need to fear. Because he loves me, I know that he is with me. So I don't have to be afraid, because this love thing lets me know that he is always with me. Think about it. When you met your husband or you met your wife, you met your significant other or whatever, you know. Or when you had your first baby, automatically love was there. Why? Because this child was a part of you. When you agreed to marry your husband and wife, why? Because you what? Because you loved them. You wanted to be with them. When the relationship was new, you did not want to be separated from them. Hour long calls on the phone. You go, and even though you just left them or you just left their presence, when you got home, you had to call them or text them. Why? Because they're no longer, they're not right there in your presence. But with God, God is always there. And because he said it, that is a word of certainty. That is one thing that we are assured of, that we are certain of with God. Out fail. So the very scope of love that God has for us, as we just read, we should have that for our fellow brothers and sisters, for our fellow man, without respect of person. Because if we remember where we are, when Christ found us, so how can we have the audacity to belittle somebody else because they don't look like us, or they're not on the same income level or the same status as us? How can we possibly have disdain for them? How does that work? If we are indeed are in Christ and he is with us. Remember 1 Corinthians 13:4-8? Love suffereth long and it is kind. Envy is not. It vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemingly. It doesn't seek its own. Is not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall pass away. But love never fails. Why? Because if love is God, then he is eternal. So something that is eternal, it means it's forever. It's not going anywhere. So how can he ever leave you? How could you ever think that he would not be with you, regardless of what you've done? So let's stop thinking less of what the Lord God has done in our lives and put him in the place where he needs to be. He needs to be first. So, because only then can we see who we are in him. Only then can we see and truly possess the characteristics of our Heavenly Father as we go through this daily walk in Christ. And stop thinking less of ourselves than we ought to. He has told us who we are. Can we walk in it? Can we truly understand that, like the father or the mother with the little child on their first day of school or their first day of preschool or kindergarten, and we're walking them to their class or walking? Well, nobody really hardly walks to school anymore. Everybody drives or, you know, transport. Well, this day and time is virtual education. But before that, before this pandemic, when we would take our kids to school, you know, on that first day, we held their hand. We wanted them to be comfortable and self-assured that when they didn't see us there, when they physically didn't see us there, that whatever we called them to do for that day, they were more than able to do. Whatever we had entrusted them with, they were able to do, and God is the same way. But you better believe that that teacher or that principal or somebody called saying, hey, our baby's having a rough day. Did we not leave that job and go immediately there? Wherever we were, did we not respond immediately to the attention of our child? And that is the very same love that God has for us. He's always with us. He's going to respond immediately. Having trouble in ministry, you're losing your faith because so much is going around, or members are walking away, or people are speaking against you falsely. Remember, he said these things would come. But it doesn't, just because he allows some things to happen in your life doesn't mean that he has left you. Remember the story of Job? See? He asked Satan, he said, what are you doing here? Because he entered in with the sons of God, because he couldn't get in any other way, because remember, he was cast out. Somebody had to let him in. So he walked in with the sons of God. He said, what are you doing here? And he said, oh, I've just been walking about in the earth, to and fro. And it was God. It was Jehovah God who said, have you considered my servant Job? There is not a man upright in all the earth like him. And Satan's reply was, because God knows. He knew Satan was already looking at Job. He knew that he wanted to try Job. Because what was Satan's response? He said, oh, yeah, I saw him. But you got a hedge of protection around him that nobody, nothing can get to him. That is our Heavenly Father. That's how he's with us always. See, he said, I can't get in, God, because you're there. How can I possibly penetrate your presence? So God said, all right, I'll let you test him. And he went and he took everything from him, his sons, his daughters, all of his material stuff. And still yet, Job did not curse God. So the enemy comes back again. He said, well, I bet if you let me touch his body. See, he didn't want to admit defeat. And that's how he is with the children of God. He doesn't want to admit defeat. And just as he is assured, see, just as much as he is assured that he can possibly get to you and win, you got to be even that much more assured and stand on God's word. As he said, listen, you got a hedge of protection around your God. You got a hedge of protection around me. Every plot, plan, and scheme of the enemy is going to fail. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every lying tongue, the Lord God shall condemn. In other words, I ain't got to worry about fighting this battle. All I got to do is focus on that which God has purposed me to do, that which he has called me to do, obey his commandments, live in as much as possible as I can in the way that he has called me to live, and allow him to take care of the rest. See? The enemy was just so sure that Job would turn his back on God, because that relationship was there. And even though he, like he said, I knew of God, but now I know God in chapter 42. See, that intimate relationship going through some things caused him to see the everlasting, the omnipotent power of God. Yeah, we know, you know, God is with us, but until we go through some stuff, until the hand of God intervenes in our lives in a way that we definitely know it was the Lord Jesus Christ and nobody else, do our lips confess, yeah, God brought me out. As that song say, he brought me out, all right. He brought me out, all right. Brought me out of darkness into the marvelous light. He brought me out, all right. See? See? Until we've gone through something that only God can bring us out of, we don't understand that little simple song. We don't understand the power of God, and oftentimes take him for granted. So when people walk away from us, pastors, clergy, ministers in training, whoever you may be, when you're preaching the truth and they may not like what you say, they may say, like in John 6 and 60, when 72 of Jesus' disciples walked away, they say, who can stand this hard teaching? And they walked away, rather than asking for understanding of what the master was saying. But then when he asked his other disciples, Peter and the rest of them that were still there, and he asked them, he said, will you leave also? And he said, Master, whether shall we go? You have the words of life. See? Being in his presence, knowing that the very presence of God is what succeeds. Stains your life. Where are you going that the presence of God is not there? Unless you vehemently decide to serve Satan, then yes, you're wrapped in darkness. Because now you have chosen him as your God. You have sworn your allegiance to him, but yet and still, you still have the opportunity to turn from your wicked ways and acknowledge God. Because remember, he is greater. He loves you regardless. Look how many times the children of Israel sinned against him, and yet and still, what he promised them, he gave unto them. He said, I will bring you into a land flowing with milk and honey, and lo, I am with you always. It was Caleb said, hey, that's my mountain. Because way back when we started on this journey, God promised me that mountain. Because remember, Caleb went over with the other 12, him and Joshua, and all the rest of them. The other 10 said, oh, no, we saw giants in the land, and we look like grasshoppers in our own eyes. Well, God didn't ask you what you look like. Caleb and Joshua say, if the Lord said that the land is ours, then it's ours. Let us go and take hold of it. But those 10 people weeping and crying upset the whole village, that they lost confidence. They didn't understand that if God said it, then that's what it was going to be, only Caleb and Joshua. So they had to walk in wilderness in a circle for 40 whole years until that disobedient first generation died off. And then that Joshua generation, who really didn't have a choice. Some say Moses was a very compassionate leader, always interceding for the people, reminding God of his promises. That when God vowed to kill the children of Israel, he said, but God, if you kill them, then you're lying, because you said these are your people, and you would bring them into the land. Not understanding, as Abraham did, that, hey, God, if I sacrifice my son or if I kill him, you have a way of resurrecting him, because your word is your word. But Moses had a heart for God and a heart for the people, even though they sinned. Such is the character of God. Because if he's with us, when we look at those less fortunate than us, we're going to be seeing through his eyes. When words come out of our mouth, we're going to be speaking those words that are down on the inside of us that he has given us to encourage, to minister, to uplift the people. Even pastors, when you have to correct them, you do it in love. It's not meant to kill anybody. It's meant to bring their attention. Hey, you need to stop doing that, or you need to correct this, but I'm going to pray with you that the Lord gives you strength, that the Lord delivers you. See? Instilling in them, hey, you're not in this fight by yourself. Back in the day, I remember growing up, I used to hear adults say, you know, when we kids, and we was in adult conversations, we got slapped in the mouth, beat, all of that. And we you know, you stay there. The main thing they said, you stay in a child's place. But adults back then would say, hey, well, that's their bed. They got to lie in it. See? Nobody was saying, hey, you know, I know you messed up, but it's okay. Let me pray with you. Nobody was saying, well, hey, you made a mistake, but there is a way out. That's your role you got to hold. That was another thing they used to say. In other words, you got to work this out yourself. This is the hand that you've been dealt. Nobody told us about God being with us. Nobody told us that he said that he was a very present help in the time of trouble. So they left us like on the Isle of Patmos. Oh, yes, they had a hell message. They always had a hell message. You go, everything that we're watching a TV show, you're going to hell. Going to the movies, you're going to hell. Wearing the wrong clothes, you're going to hell. Everything was you're going to hell. Nobody told us, hey, baby, God is with you. He will lead and direct your steps. But everything we did, you're going to hell. Well, hell, if I'm going to hell, then I might as well do everything that I want to do while I'm living, since I'm condemned to hell anyway. Live my life, have my fun, and then, yeah, just go to hell. At least I know I'll live doing what I wanted to do. Too much hell in the message and not enough heaven. There was too much hell in the message and not enough love, not enough deliverance. Nobody talked about having a relationship with Christ Jesus. Nobody talked about he was a very present help in the time of trouble. Nobody talked about, lo, I am with you always. Nobody talked about the unconditional love of God. And you wonder why we have a generation that's run amok now. It was always a do as I say, not as I do. There was always a hypocritical double standard. But if a generation is going to be saved, then we got to teach and we got to live the true word of God. Yes, there is accountability in this walk, especially as leaders. There is accountability. We can't just do and say what we want to do because we feel like it. These are God's people. Didn't he warn Ezekiel? He said, "Woe to the shepherd who has buffered my sheep. I entrusted my people to you. And this is how you treat them? You take advantage of them? Oh, no, you're going to have to get dealt with." He said, "I will go after my sheep. I'm going to bandage them up. I am going to heal them." See, lo, I am with you always. That even if you're leaders, even if you're pastors, even if your parents, your fathers, your mothers, those who have authority over you, even if they don't do right by you, I'm God. I will do right by you. I don't have no choice because I called you as my own. I made you in my image. So regardless of what they don't do, I will do. Because I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I don't care who else leaves you. I don't care who else forsakes you. It's impossible for me not to love you. But we get it mixed up when we fall out of love, when we blame God for situations in our life rather than praying for understanding. God, if you allowed this to happen, I know there was a reason. And if we don't get clarity on the reason, if we never get the understanding on the reason, God is still truth. But can we be like him? Love unconditionally. Love in spite of. If his Holy Spirit truly rests and dwells in us, then yes, we can. But if it's only superficial, if it's only a top layer, if we only study in the word or pick up our Bibles for show, or go to church, or show up in a church Zoom meeting for show just to say you was there, just to say that was a good message. But did the word pierce your heart? Did you get some understanding from it? Did you draw a closer relationship in Christ Jesus to him? How was your life affected? Do we have pastors, clergy, a burden for souls to see lives changed by how we live? Are we being that example to let the people see and know that God is indeed with them, that he is indeed concerned about them? Remember, because he cares for his people. Can he see that? Can people see that in us as his messengers in the earth for such a time as this? As we talked about last week, are we their hope? Can they see Christ in us, the hope of glory? Or is it all for show? Can the people understand that, yeah, regardless of where you are, whatever your situation is, whatever your circumstance is, God will never leave nor forsake you? Are we telling people that? So that they have a fear of God in reverence to who he is. Not in reverence like, oh, God gonna strike me down. As they used to say in the old days when we was growing up. You better not do that. God gonna strike you down. That holy reverence, just because he is God, just because he is our sovereign Lord, just because his name is holy, because of who he is, not because of what he can do. Are we teaching that? Are we just so caught up on Malachi 3 and 10, bring all ye tithes into the storehouse that it might be meat in my house and I will pour you out a blessing? Are we telling, you know, if you don't pay your tithes, you're cursed? Are we so hung up on the money aspect instead of teaching the people, meeting the people where they are. See? Because when I came to the ministry that I'm in 15 years ago, I told my pastor, I didn't believe in paying tithes and offering because I don't even have enough money to pay my bills. So why should I give you, a pastor, my money when you have more than I do? And you know what he said? He said, I agree with you. I said, okay, Ben, we can talk. But over the years, he taught me the principle of what it meant to pay tithes, of giving a tenth. We don't give it to God. We give it for the furtherance of his kingdom. That's a reasonable sacrifice because he's blessed us. Who blessed you with the job? Who opened the door that you might have the income that you have? See, but I didn't look at it that way because, you know, before that, I thought it was all me because of the educational level that I have or the bachelor's degree, you know, or the experience that I have, you know, that those things spoke for me when I applied for a job or I was just a good orator. I gave great interviews. But without the favor of God, the door never would have been opened for the interview. Even yet, in the midst of my sins, when I wasn't even acknowledging him, he opened doors for me, made ways for me that I know only God did. A very present help. I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Why? Because he loves us just that much. So, pastors, clergy, people who witness to other people, don't give nobody a hell message. Because God's word said, I have come that you might have life and that more abundantly, not that you might go to hell if you don't do what I say. Everybody knows that. 5-year-old child probably hadn't already heard that. They know that. Tell me how I might have that life and that more abundantly. Tell me about the love of God. Tell me about the promises of God that I might establish that relationship. Not because I fear going to hell, but because I have a genuine respect and fear and love for God Almighty. Teach me how to be that person. See, because things you fear, you run from. But when you truly love somebody, you want to be with that person. You want to know with that. You want to know more about that person. You want to grow with that person. You don't want to be without that person. Let us establish or teach our people, teach our children, teach those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ how to fall in love daily with the Lord God Almighty. That's something that hasn't been taught. But that is the very essence of who God says that he is. Let him know that regardless of what you do, God is not going to ever leave you nor forsake you. He's not going to give up on you. Man is going to give up on you. Parents will give up on you. Loved ones will give up on you. But God said, I will never leave you. I'm not finna give up on you because I know greater is in you. I know what I put down on the inside of you. Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I called you to be a prophet into the nations. Let the people know that there is something that is so precious down on the inside of them that God will never give up on them because he's got to bring that thing to pass if you allow him. Just surrender your will. Because greater is on the inside of you. You don't know it yet. I didn't see Leona becoming Pastor Ross. I know. No, I would have thought I would have been the last person to be a pastor ever. I thought I would have been the last person preaching the word of God. Or even acknowledging the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. and for this long period of time, and to be single and celibate for this long period of time, these almost 20 years, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ can do. If he did it for me, what makes you think that he can't do it for that other young lady, or that other teenager who was pregnant at 14 and a baby at 15? Who everybody, including her family, called her every name in the book except what her name is. Already condemned her to hell. Nobody spoke life. No encouraging words came, but God. He had a plan for my life. Even through an abusive marriage. Even through periods of homelessness in my life. I can't say I ever had to sleep on the street. I can't say I ever went hungry. Even when I didn't have a job. Because in the midst of all of that, in the midst of my sin, in the midst of me not acknowledging him, he was still there. Making a way, giving me favor with people, touching people's heart, to seek me out, to find me. Oh, I've been looking for you. Opening doors for places of employment, for places to live with landlords. Hearing them say out of their own mouth, you know, this goes against our policy, but it's just something about you. I'm gonna do it because I believe I can trust you. Didn't know why at the time, but like they say, hindsight is 20/20. I can look back and I can see the hand of God all over my life in situations and circumstances, as I say, that I did not acknowledge him. But he was with me. Wherever I may go, he was with me. That no hurt or no harm came to me. And even at the times when it did and the situations that I didn't understand, he already had a way out. I know the plans that I have for you. That's what he said. I know. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you. So you don't make your plans, because the plans that I have for you are better than the ones you have for you. See, I have plans to prosper you and not harm you. I have plans to give you a great hope and to bring you to an expected end. Not what you expect, but the future that I have purposed for your life. See, because remember, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you was going to be Pastor Ross. You didn't know, but I knew. So how can I possibly leave you? How can I possibly forsake you when I know the plans that I have made for your life? If I'm leading you and guiding you, how can I possibly leave you? How can I possibly not be with you? Yes, I may be distant, and I may seem distant, but I will never leave you, and I have never forsaken you. Lo, I am with you always, that when you call me, I am there. When you need me, I am there. When you acknowledge me, I am there. Can we tell the people that? To give them a greater hope? To let them know that indeed they are loved immensely, more than they could ever know, that they are capable of being more than what the world has told them that they are, or that they can do, or that they can be, because God is with you. His very presence is the essence of who you are. You were made to love and to be loved. And to prosper. He says in James, I wish above all things that you in good health and prosper, even as your soul prospers. His desire for us. Who wouldn't love a God like that? Don't deny his presence. Reach out to him. Pastors, teach the people. Help them to understand who they are in Christ, that we are made in his image, and therefore all things are possible because we believe. There is nothing that is impossible for us, regardless of what anybody else might say around you. And further, help them to understand it. It don't matter what they say. It only matters what the Father says. And if we can hold on to that in his book, and as we open it, and as they begin to read, pastors, teach them how to pray before they even open the book for clarity and understanding, to bind the will of the enemy, because I hear a lot of people, and it used to happen to me all the time, you start reading the Bible and all of a sudden you get sleepy. Bind the will of the enemy, that as you study, God brings you clarity, that those words on that page are no longer logos, but they become rhema in your spirit. They become a living word in you, that when you need them, you can call out that scripture, that he bring all things back to your remembrance in the time that you need it. That as you study, that word brings you peace and comfort. That it truly is a living word in your life as you walk each day to apply it. And you know that indeed, God has never left me and never forsaken me. I know God is with me wherever I may go. Amen. Amen. Well, this has been Pastor Leona Ross with If My People on Blog Talk Radio. I do hope that this word has encouraged you, inspired you to just go on and do greater things and be greater in God. Amen. So we will see you back here next week. Same time, 12 noon. And we're going to leave out of here again with Samuel Metis. This is royalty, because you need to know who you are. You need to know who you are. You are royalty. Called to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. And as you go out this week, think on those things and remember that the Lord God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, is always with you wherever you may go. I hope, pray that each and every one of you be blessed and stay safe and healthy in Jesus' name.
You better believe me.
No God like Jehovah or the
giant. Let me tell them, say, my daddy is the king, so I am royalty. Oh, my daddy is the king, so that means I am royalty. Oh, my father is the king, so I am royalty. Love me right, grace among me, no lie, no one come. Show me up, call me son, change my name, bless me son. Now the blessing can't turn down. Show me up the moon. My daddy is a king, so I am a royalty.
Yeah.
It's a matter what you say about me, cause tell you the truth, I've got quite a few. But one man alone I know can solve them. And there is really nothing that he can do. If we talk about sin, I was the chiefest. I
people put me off on the shelf. But I encountered a love that's the realest. And if this not me, me want you for myself. Him clean me up, turn me round, lift me head, fix me crown, love me right, brace about me in the last. No one from, show me up, call me son, change my name, bless me song. Now the blessing can't turn down. Rolling with protection, angels all around us. Mention of his name and the enemies that conquered. Power in my words, you better believe me. I'm walking like a prince, but my mansion's up yonder. Smiling at my haters.